This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Glorification, in the other words, all that we're going through is preparing us to be glorified with Him. Amen. We looked at the fact that the suffering of this present time cannot compare to the glory that we're going to share with Him. And Pastor Bayo, last week, with that challenging message, asking the question, what is the reason for our existence? I think I went back home and I kept asking myself that question. Okay? But I want to challenge us slightly today in a different way. And the question I want to ask you, because that's what I want to share, does your communication reflect Christ or the mind of Christ? Amen. When we speak, who does it reflect? Does it reflect us or what's inside of us? Amen. You don't have to answer the question. How many of you know that communication is very important? Communication is very important and in every sense of our daily living. And you know, misunderstandings can be avoided if we communicate properly. Words can hurt or they can encourage, they can teach or they can tear down. Amen. But no matter what, they are very powerful. You might wonder, where am I going to with this? I want to bring us to the place where we begin to speak like Christ. Amen. Communication has a huge reflection of what is in our heart. The other day, I got into the office and I saw my boss's body language. I've never seen him like that before. Normally when I get into the office, he goes, "Hey, Rolo." But I got in that day and he wasn't saying anything. Then another colleague came in and he said, "Hello." How many of you think? In my mind, something began to go, "What's wrong? What is it? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Communication is very powerful, whether spoken or not spoken. And I remember someone then brought a card to me and said to sign. And they said he's just lost his nan. But in my heart, it was like, what's going on? Why did he not say hello to me? Normally he would say hello to me. Does someone saying hello to you make any difference? Because if it does, you need to check your heart and say, what's going on? Am I depending solely on people saying hello to me or giving me hugs? When the person I should be depending on is who? Jesus. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. As Christians, one of Jesus' statements to us was to do with relationship and how we communicate with each other. Matthew 5:22. He says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." How many of you have ever wondered what that word Raka means? The word Raka actually is Aramaic, and it simply means you empty-headed, you fool, you stupid person. So he's saying that when we say that, we're actually in danger of the council. But you fool, we're in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and come and offer your gift. It's quite interesting because when I read this, Jesus was actually talking about relationship in the church. Okay. And there's a scripture where it says, and I think it's Matthew 18, it says, when your brother offends you and you go to them and you tell them and they do not agree, you go back and you tell someone in the church. If they do not agree, you bring the elders. And if they do not agree, you send them in. I send them out. I was wondering what that scripture was there. And I realized that when he said send them out, is because Jesus is saying, do not cause dissension. Do not cause disunity in the body. If the person is not ready to listen, then he's not meant to be with you. Okay. But communication is quite powerful. Because Jesus was also saying that we cannot give with hatred in our heart. He was saying, before you even minister in the house of God, deal with the issues you have with your brother or your sister. Your relationship with your fellow brother is more important to God than your gift. That's what Jesus was saying. Whether you know how to sing, whether you know how to pray. I think before, I used to look at that and base it on before I bring my offering. But I've looked at it deeper and I realized that it's not just my offering. It is any gift that I have, whether I can sing, whether I can dance, whether I can pray. Before I even come into the house of God to minister, I must first check my heart. So that what I'll be doing will become out of a heart of purity. Amen. Communication is very important. There are different forms of communication. How we look at each other speaks volume. Our facial expressions, our gestures, our stance, and our tone of voice. I think sometimes it's so funny. Those of us who are married, like this morning, I think my wife came. And she said, is that my Bible? And I was looking at her. And I said, why did you ask? She said, is that my Bible? I said, yes, it's your Bible. But you didn't say good morning. Because already in my mind, I'm already looking at the fact that she's come. And I'm going to start an argument. Because of one word, good morning. How many times do we do that? You might say you don't do that, but I do. Okay? I need deliverance then. The truth is that we look at people's gesture, we look at their stance. Unspoken words are so powerful. And they can be even more destructive. So Jesus is saying, speak. But we have to speak Jesus' way. And I'm going to show you Jesus' way as we go along. Do you know that in Psalm 19 verse 14, this is what the Bible says about our communication, how we talk. And this is very interesting because it goes to buttress some of the things I've just said. He says here, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my what? Heart. So he's bringing the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. He's bringing the two together and he's saying that what comes out of our mouth is based on what is in our heart. So he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So he says, they should be married. They should be married. And let it be acceptable in God's sight. So the psalmist here relates his speech to the meditation of his heart. In short, what is in your heart will be heard in your speeches. Amen. So what he's actually saying here is saying, God, help me. Look at my heart. Check it. Look at Psalm 37 verse 30. This talks about the mouth of the righteous. Psalm 37 verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom and his tongue speaks justice. How many of you know that our righteousness is like filthy rags before God? But we are the righteousness of God. Through who? Through Christ Jesus. Because of Christ Jesus, we are righteous. But look at what he's saying to us. He's saying that our mouth should utter wisdom, and our tongue should speak justice. Paul writes to the Ephesians church, and he talks about unwholesome words. Ephesians 4:29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do you know that sometimes there are words that do not benefit people who listen? Sometimes when we go to people and we begin to backbite or gossip or talk about things that shouldn't be, it does not help them. Our words should be words that bring healing to people. Our words should be words that encourages people. If you have friends and everything they say to you are things to bring you down, then you better leave those friends. They're not your friends. You have to come around people who help you to grow in your faith in what they say. Amen. Hallelujah. As Christians, our communication, our speech should build others up. It should bring strength and stability to the lives of those we speak to. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says this. It says, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consumes him. As Christians, we must watch what we say. We must learn to speak words of edification to one another. Words that lift people up, not words that destroy them. And we must be careful how we speak about other people to others. You might say to me, well, we don't do that in Word of Life Church. That's true. You probably don't. Okay. But what I'm trying to bring out here is that we need to begin to watch what we say. Okay. This Bible is full of this. We must be careful how we speak. It says in Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Romans 15:2 says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So we're being called to build up with our speeches. We're being called to build up with our words. Ephesians 5:4 says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of character, but rather thanksgiving. Now it's so interesting because it says, which are out of character. And I was meditating on that, and it occurred to me that as Christians, we shouldn't be doing those things. Recently, I was coming with a friend in a car. I think I've said this here. And this was what he said. He asked me this question after I've said everything to him. He said, is God against swearing? What do you think my answer was? Anybody? Any takers? No, I didn't say to him yes. I said to him, God is not against swearing. You're swearing. Because God is not concerned about your swearing. God is concerned about your soul. That's the number one thing. Because he is an unbeliever. And they can do anything they want. That's why he's saying here that we Christians, when you become born again, that's why. Have you never said to people, come just the way you are? So do you want them to stop swearing before they come? You understand what I'm saying? They're going to come with all their swearing, but it is when they come and they meet with the Lord, because the Lord is concerned about their heart. He's concerned about their soul, where they're going to spend eternity. After that, then whatever they say will now be out of character. Are you understanding? And this is what I'm trying to bring out today about our communication. As Christians, we're called to communicate the gospel. Amen. When we look at scripture, we'll see that even Jesus said to us that we should go and preach the gospel. So let us look at the relationship between the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Earlier, we read in Psalm 19, verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. This is the psalmist's prayer. But listen to what Jesus now says in Matthew 12:34-35. How many of you believe that the words that Jesus says is the word that we should hold on to? How many of you believe that? And that's why the scripture says in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly. So we need to constantly go back to the word of Christ, because that is the final habitat of wisdom. So he says here, he says in Matthew 12:34-35, he says, for out of the abundance of what? Of the heart, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. Amen. So if I'm excited in my heart, I speak excitement. When I'm angry, I do not like the way someone looks at me, or I think people have been talking about me, or I think that things are not going the right way. What do I do? I speak, because the mind, everything I see, Do you know that your eyes is the entrance to your heart? Your ears entrance? Okay? Even your nose. When you smell something and you don't like it, and you then look around and you see someone who carries that thing that you've just smelled that you don't like, the first thing that runs in your mind, what's wrong with this person? Well, you don't say it. You're like, why did they bring that kind of a thing into this place? If you go on the on an airline and they head into Nigeria, and then you see some of those Nigerian women come up with their food, pounded yam, vegetable soup. You smell it in your mind, you begin to say, what's wrong with them? Why are they on this plane? Why are they even allowed to? Because your mind is telling your heart, I don't like this, and you're getting angry. Hello? So Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, a good man, hallelujah, say, I'm a good man. And out of the good treasure of my heart, I shall speak. Amen. Because he says, and a good man out of the good treasure. You have good treasure in your heart, people of God. That's what I want to challenge you about. You have good treasure in your heart. You have something good in your heart because you're the righteousness of God. He says, of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, to buttress it again, look at what Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says to us. You see, the thoughts and intentions of our heart determine the motive and content of what we say. Amen? He says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. In some, it says, desperately sick. Who can understand it? But I didn't only stop there. He then says, but I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So we need to look again into our hearts. Some of our intentions, some of the things we do, whether we believe God, whether we trust God for things, what is our mind saying to our heart? Amen. I look at myself sometimes, if I need something so desperately, and it's like, I'm going, Lord, I need it now. Lord, I need it now. And God is not answering. The first thing my mind says, why don't you go and do this? How many of you have been there? Your mind says, go and do it. But the Lord says, the Bible says, the Lord is looking into our hearts. Because when we trust him, when we believe him, when we know that he is the one who can do everything, if we really believe, you know what we'll do? What we'll speak will actually express what is in our heart. Are you believing God for breakthrough? Are you believing God for healing? Are you believing God for your business to prosper? Are you believing God for anything? But you see, if in your heart you have hidden the word of God, which Psalm 119 says, he says, your word, O God, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know what you do? You say, God, I know you can do it. He doesn't really care what my circumstance is saying. He doesn't really care what I'm seeing around me. One thing I know is that you can do it because you have done it before. You know what you're doing? Because your heart is saying, you know that the God you serve is a faithful God. And if he has promised, he will definitely do it. Amen. The reason sometimes why we go away from the truth of God is when we have people around us, or we have other Christians around us that are saying, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And you're like, try what? I'm trying Jesus. And I know that Jesus will never fail. But you see, that's the truth of what I'm saying to you about our communication. Who do we communicate with? Do you know we communicate with God? We communicate with each other. And if we trust God, that God can do what is promised that he will do, guess what? We will spend time in talking more to him than to people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But where we need to start from is where the scripture says in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, what does it say you should do? Guard your heart. Amen. For everything you do flows from it. Our heart is very important. It is very important. And the enemy is always looking for a way to go into our heart and bring about confusion. Make us not trust. Make us speak the wrong thing. Make us, even in our marriages, look at our marriages and say, oh, I don't think this is going to work. I want to say to someone here, your marriage will work because it was not ordained by man. It was ordained by God. How many of you have noticed that you go to the church to tie the knot and make the vow, but people go to the courts to get a divorce? You know why? Because Jesus says, in the beginning, it was not so. But what you're doing is what Moses gave you. God gave marriage. Moses gave the law. Gave the letter of divorce. And I want to encourage someone here today. Try Jesus if you don't know him. I want to encourage someone here today that step into that place, into the closet, because he says that if you go into your closet and you pray, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Who are you communicating with? Let your communication be with God. So we need to come to a place where we begin to transform our mind. We transform our communication by the way we transform our mind. So Romans 8:28-29. I'll take it from verse 29. He said, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants us, our speech, the way we act, to be like Jesus. I'm going to quickly give you a snippet of how Jesus spoke and who Jesus was. But before that, Romans 12:2 says this. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So this world has a pattern. Amen. They have a pattern of doing things. They have ways of doing things. They have ways of getting results. But he's saying, do not be transferred. He says, do not conform. Do not be shaped. Do not allow the world to shape you. Do not allow the system to shape you so you do not talk. Do not allow the system to shape you so you do not tell the truth. Do not allow the system to shape you so that you do not love. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then he goes on to say, then you'll be able to test and approve what's God's good will, God's will for you. And not only that, that is pleasing and perfect. Do you know that God's will for us is perfect? It's always perfect, and it will never be imperfect because his will for us is perfect. So what he's saying is, just put your trust in him and begin to renew your mind. Jesus set us a very high standard in the way he spoke and related to people around him. Do you know Jesus spoke the truth? And we're called to speak the truth. Speak the truth to your neighbor. Do you know one of the things most of us Christians do not like is being told the truth? How many of you realize that? The first thing we say when we tell people the truth is, you're judging me. Okay? But Jesus spoke the truth. And I want to encourage us. I think sometimes that's one of the, let me be truthful, that's one of the challenges I have sometimes. Telling people the truth. Especially Christians. And I want to openly confess that. But what Jesus is saying, or what Jesus did, was to tell people the truth. When you go to 3 John, it says, my children who walk in the truth. That's what 3 John says. My children who walk in the truth. God is calling us to walk in the truth, to speak the truth. Jesus always spoke with love. How do you speak to people? Jesus always honored his Father with his words. Amen. James says this. He says, for we all stumble in James 3:2. He says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man. able also to bridle the whole body. And I began to ask myself this question. So it means that I can be perfect whilst I'm on this earth. And the only way I can do that is to control the way I speak, what I say to people. Is that not? No, tell me, am I wrong? What does James say here? He said, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, that means the right word, saying the right thing, saying things that bring God's glory, saying things to help every other person, lift them up. He says he is a perfect man. Why? Because he's able to control what he says. Amen. So we need to renew our mind. We need to begin to think the way God wants us to think. Okay? We need to begin to think the way Jesus thinks. Hallelujah. We must believe beyond every reasonable doubt that truth in Christ is actually what brings us freedom. When we know the truth of what Jesus says, then we will have freedom. So our minds need to be renewed to that. Amen. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John 8, and he said to them, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? And it's interesting because they asked him that. We're not slaves. They said to him, we're not slaves. We're Abraham's children. And Jesus said, no, it's beyond that. When you know the truth, what I'm talking to you about, when you know what it means to draw closer to the Father, when you know what it means to change the way you talk, when you know what it means to be able to worship the Father and praise the Father, you'll be free because God is your Father. Amen. You know, another thing I want you to take home with you today is that Jesus knew who he was. And I think Pastor Bayo said this last Sunday. When you know who you are in the Lord, your speech will change. Amen. When you know the assignment that God has given you, your speech will change. Jesus was not afraid of the system because he knew who he was. I see petitions, sign this petition, sign that petition, sign. There's nothing wrong with that. But we still need to come to a place where we know what our assignment is. And our assignment is to speak the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Do you know there were times we used to say to people, Jesus loves you. Okay? But I think we need to go a lot deeper than that. It's not just Jesus loves you. It's to tell people that there is heaven and there is hell. Tell people the truth. We know Jesus loves them. Isn't that so? Now tell me, who doesn't know that Jesus loves the whole world? That's why the Father sent him. But people do not know that there is heaven and there's hell. That's why they still want Jesus to be a baby. So we celebrate him every Christmas. But the truth is letting people know that there is heaven and there is hell. But the truth is that Jesus has come to set us free. Amen. I want to quickly look at how Jesus Christ communicated. Jesus communicated by addressing the needs of people. Matthew 14, 15 to 16. The Bible says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Jesus was concerned about the needs of the people. And when he spoke, he said, give them. He didn't agree with the people and say, okay, send them off. He said, give them something to eat. At the pool of Bethesda, there was a man there who was invalid for 38 years. When Jesus went to him, he asked him the question, do you want to get well? Jesus was always addressing needs. When was the last time I went to somebody and said, is there a need in your life? Is there something you want me to help you with? Amen. Especially those who have children. They have young children. And sometimes they want to maybe go away and do something. Go to them and say, do you need me to look after your children? So you can go away for a break. How many of you can do that? Amen. Jesus communicated about the needs of the people. Amen. Jesus built relationships. Okay? One of the ways he spoke was in building relationship with a woman at the well in John 4. He went beyond the norm. Okay? Sometimes some of us will look at certain people, will look at certain culture, and we do not want to relate to them. But Jesus went beyond that. He related to everyone. And so he spoke to the woman at the well. He made a conversation with the woman. And the woman was able to bring other people to Jesus. Amen. Jesus communicated with a sinful woman. He was not prepared to stay away from the woman, even when his guest was saying to him, "Don't you realize this is a sinful woman?" You check that in Luke 7:38 to 39. Jesus spoke the truth. Okay? Jesus spoke with love. Amen. I want to encourage us that when we speak, let it be out of love. Okay? He communicated love in everything he did and said. And when you look in the Bible is full of this. The woman caught in adultery was shown love. Okay? Other people would have said, yes, it's true, legally, what the Bible says, what the law says. But Jesus went beyond that and showed the woman love. And said, if there is anyone amongst you here who's never sinned, cast the first stone. And the woman said, and he said to the woman, where are your accusers? And they said, Lord, none. Where are those who've condemned you? I have not condemned you. Go. His word set people free. Let our word set people free. Okay. Let's not use our words to bind people. He honored God with what he said. If you read through the Bible in John 8:28, Jesus says, in John 8:28, he says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me. Okay? He did everything his Father taught him. He said everything his Father taught him. In verse 29, he said, who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. So when we speak to people, let's tell them, let's honor the Father, let's honor God. Amen. John 12:49, we also hear Jesus talking about, I have no authority of my own. The authority I have is the authority that comes from my Father. So where am I going to with all of this? If we want to be conformed to the image of Jesus, we must be transformed in our thinking and begin to embrace Jesus' lifestyle. Let's speak love. Let's speak truth. Amen. Let's go away from condemning people. Let's go away from backbiting. Let's go away from gossip. Let's go away from not loving the way Christ has asked us to love people. You're not here to imitate your pastor. You're not here to imitate Paul. But you're here to imitate Jesus. Because even Paul himself says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It meant that there was something Christ was doing that he picked up and he was doing. And I think one of the greatest place or the greatest thing we need in our life is our communication. To speak the way Jesus spoke. To love people the way Jesus loved people. Can you tell me one situation that you will ask yourself this? What would Jesus say in that situation? Okay. I saw Gary yesterday. How many of you know Gary? He was here yesterday. And I want us to use a few minutes to pray for Gary. His father has been told that his father will die within the next 2-3 days. And that has really knocked him. So guess what he's done? He's gone deep into drinking. When I saw his friend out there, I said to his friend, where is Gary? And he said that the doctor is saying to him that if he's not careful, he will go the same way his father is going. Because He's drowning his sorrow in alcohol. You see, we've got something beautiful. Let's speak it. Let's speak to people. What if there was no building? What if there was no building for us to meet? What if what Jesus is saying to us is, go out there rather than be in a building and speak to people about my love? We need to communicate the way Jesus communicates. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.